The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that he has made and given for us. A couple of notes to highlight. Today we begin a journey through divine service, setting two. Setting two. It's time to switch, so we're all going to try and remember new tunes today as we go along. So John is going to help us out with that, you know, we'll see. Yeah, there you go. He's already helping us there. Elders, we're going to meet briefly after the service, talk about a few things, you know, opening up and all that kind of stuff. We're going to knock those things out. We pray today a prayer of thanksgiving for our graduates, a whole bunches of them. Brady Stephenson, of course, from Forest Lake Christian High School, right? All these different names are hard to keep track. In our prayers as well, we pray for Veronica Finch, a friend of the Kish family who's having a heart procedure this week as well. With those notes, the service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons." And he called them and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says today, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve for a minute. They had just eaten of the fruit of the tree, and a dark, gaping chasm of the unknown now lay before them. Our Lord and God came to see the two of them in the cool of the evening, as was his habit, but this time, because sin had entered the world, Adam hid. Isn't that what one does when he's riddled with guilt and the divine majesty calls out to him? Adam hid because he was ashamed of what he had done. He was ashamed of what he had become. And finally, when God coaxed him out of his hiding place, he asked him, Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? It's like asking the kid with his hand in the cookie jar, did you take a cookie? And with bulging cheeks, they deny it, right? So Adam does what any red-blooded husband would do, right? The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. No. Look closely. It isn't really her fault. Look at what he said. The woman whom you gave to be with me. It's God's fault. Had he not given Adam this woman, he wouldn't have sinned. And of course, Eve passes the blame to the serpent. They both blamed somebody else for their own sin. What else could they do? Hope had eluded them, sin had stained them, it had marked them, and there's nothing they can do about it. They're destined for a hopeless existence, eternal separation from God. Until God himself made a promise. Until he said that he would send them a Savior who would bring them back into the Father's warm embrace. And so God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And with those words, hope is born. And it is all centered around this one person, this seed of the woman, this Savior who would crush the head of the serpent, this Christ, the Messiah of God, who would finally win the battle over sin by becoming sin's greatest victim. Which brings us back to Jesus' words in Mark 3. Jesus begins with a word of warning. The multitudes gathered around him accused him of being possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. How could they behold God himself standing there and only see Satan? Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit. This, Jesus says, is the one sin that will not be forgiven. For in committing this sin, one rejects the only source of hope that there is. And it isn't some horrible, despicable, disgusting sin that one commits either. It's simply unbelief. Unbelief is what is unforgivable. They didn't believe Jesus could be who he said he was. So he's obviously of the devil. Have you ever had times like that? Have you fallen into unbelief before? Most certainly. If you live and you breathe, you have had moments of doubt. You have had moments of unbelief. But have you stayed there? Have you turned your back on the Holy Spirit given to you, the one who brings you faith and life? And are you worried about committing this unforgivable sin? Ever been awake at night, terrified that you've cut yourself off from God's kingdom by what you've done? Sure. So how do you know that you haven't fallen out of the kingdom, that you haven't fallen away from salvation? Apart from the Holy Spirit of God, you are all dead in your trespasses and sins. It is that Holy Spirit that makes you alive, that turns your thoughts towards God, that even makes you care what God thinks of you. If you're afraid that you've cut yourself off from God, then the only sin that you've committed is the fear itself, being afraid. Those who are dead in their sins, they care very little about the things of God and falling away. But those made alive in Christ, they care very much. Adam and Eve hid in the garden because in their sin, they were afraid of God. And maybe you've got that same fear today. Maybe you aren't really sure of the depths of God's forgiveness and His love for you. Maybe you think that your own sin, your own terrible sin that you're hiding deep within, is too serious to be forgiven. Or maybe in your own frustration and in your own anger, you commit that sin over and over and over again. And maybe you've deluded yourself into thinking that, well, if I were really a good Christian, I wouldn't still be wrestling with this sin. The same sin that Christ Jesus gave His life to forgive becomes the same one that moves you to question the validity of Jesus' death for you. So whatever your situation might be, Jesus speaks His comforting gospel to you this morning. All sins will be forgiven, the children of man, whatever blasphemies they utter. Jesus deals in absolutes. When He forgives sins, He forgives all of it. Every rebellious act, every feeble attempt to blame somebody else. So it's interesting, isn't it? That Adam tries to blame God for his own sin. And there on that cross, in Christ Jesus, God in flesh did take the blame for Adam's sin. Even as He took the blame for your sin, for your every sin. So there, on His cross, Jesus became sin's greatest victim. And in Him, all of it has been forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.